This is Briar Clough, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Tyler Donaldson. We'll also hear from Don Wick as well. It's been a big week for the farm bill process. Both House and Senate Agriculture Committee leadership unveiling farm bill plans. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has details on the House version from Washington, D.C.
Our Washington Watch coverage made possible by the Minnesota Farmers Union, by Associated Muck Producers Incorporated and the Dinner Bell Creamery, and by the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson will mark up the farm bill May 23rd. After release of his bill, Ranking Member David Scott rejected the legislation, saying it includes poison pill policies with an untenable funding scheme. In a briefing with farm broadcasters, Thompson said that complaint is disingenuous.
I've made this promise whenever I came into my leadership position. We were not going to cut SNAP. I mean, that's important to me that when it comes to SNAP benefits, I want it to have good integrity, and we've got integrity measures that we're going to do. I want to make sure that only the people, that we do everything we can to reduce fraud and abuse. I mean, I think we have an obligation to do that. I look at it a little differently. If you lose just a few dollars in fraud and abuse, you're actually taking that out of the mouth, I think, of families that are struggling and need to have it. And so having chaired that subcommittee, so anybody who says that we're cutting SNAP benefits, I've made it very clear. There's no cuts to individual SNAP benefits. There just isn't.
Thompson's plan doubles the investment in the MAP and FMD trade promotion programs and invests more in ag research. It also moves away from ad hoc disaster programs.
When it does get done, many times those checks have to go to a forwarding address because the bankruptcy has already occurred, the farm's been sold, and people, families have devastating impacts on their lives of leaving this great industry. And so we're looking at that. We're not going to be able to do everything because you just can't anticipate what God can throw at us in terms of disasters. But if we can provide some certainty by strengthening the crop insurance program, that is a principle of which we're leaning heavily into.
Thompson is willing to pass the farm bill out of his committee with just Republican votes.
I've got a number of different options of getting to the House floor. The options that I'll work with leadership on, Leader Scalise, I think that'll be driven by the outcome of the vote in committee. So I know I've got support, Democratic support. Would I love widespread Democratic support? You bet. But we have strong supporters on the Democratic side. But the process through the House is yet to be determined, but I'm confident that I will find a successful pathway.
This week's Washington Watch coverage made possible by NDFB, South Dakota Farm Bureau Federation, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
As House and Senate Ag Committees begin to release farm bill text, National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director for Government Affairs Allison Rivera says the NCBA is in a good position.
For the things that NCBA has been asking for and fighting for a while now, that we should be in a good spot, and support for the three-legged stool with the vaccine bank, and gosh knows that's more important now than it ever has been, and will continue to be important, as well as funding for those labs that are going to be doing a lot of important testing. Making sure that the conservation title has funding, making sure that funding for the feral swine eradication program is in there. So I think we're going to see some tech soon, and I think that it's going to be very positive for our cattle producers.
Rivera is hopeful Ag Committee leaders will get the Farm Bill ball rolling during the month of May. One sticking point has been the number of urban legislators on the Ag Committee.
What we always say is food security is national security. I think when you look at the world right now, that resonates more now than maybe last week even. So that's always a good reminder. And then just reminding those districts and the people that live in those districts that the food, where it comes from, are those rural districts where the producers like ours are growing and raising crops and protein. And so we want to make sure that those members are reminded that this is a farm bill. This is a bill that does have SNAP, but it also has a lot of programs in there that protect our producers from those rough times.
Rainy days are ahead for the Red River Valley. That, according to Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Matthew McLaughlin.
We have a system working its way through, kind of towards the northern section of the United States, near Canada. And then as that's moving through, we're going to be seeing some rain showers over the next few days, maybe Sunday. It looks like we're going to get into like a ridging pattern. So what that basically means is we're going to have some sunshine in between this break of rain. So Sunday looks like Sunday into possibly Monday looks like we could see a little break from the rain showers, dry out a little bit. And then coming Tuesday, we have another system working its way in from the Rocky Mountains.
And parts of the northern plains are seeing almost an inch of rain.
So a couple of reports, like near Perham, we've got a report in of 0.75 inches. And then we also have a report of 0.63 inches near Ottertail, and then 0.32 in West Fargo. So we're seeing about a little less than half an inch to almost an inch in some places.
End on rainfall totals as of 11 a.m., mostly less than a quarter of an inch. A few exceptions are Brockton, North Dakota at 37 hundredths of an inch, Jamestown at 53 hundredths, Courtenay at 48 hundredths, and the heaviest rains here in central North Dakota, with Streeter reporting an inch and 4 hundredths, Tappan at 94 hundredths, and Wishick at 84 hundredths.
AGCO reporting fiscal year 2024 first quarter net income of $168 million on net sales of $2.9 billion. Net income is down 27% year over year. Net sales are down 12% from the first quarter of 2023. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Southern Red River Valley is seeing its wettest spring in some years. All that rain has Chester, South Dakota farmer Keith Alverson and others around him excited for planting season.
Last couple, two, 3 weeks, well, and all of April, actually, you know, we were catching the rains as they went through kind of the southeast part and east central South Dakota, and picked up, you know, anywhere from about 3 to 4.5 inches across the farm. And so, first time since 2019 that we're going to go into the planting season with a full soil profile, and so that's kind of got us excited.
Alverson says farmers in the area are taking advantage of the great soil conditions and already started planting.
Last week we had a nice window where guys got rolling, kind of a varying degree of, you know, how aggressively guys were pushing. I know a few people that are actually done with corn, haven't started on soybeans, but I think a lot of folks are, you know, maybe 30 to 50% done on corn, or, you know, 20 to 50% on corn, and kind of getting rolling on soybeans. We got a little bit of a slower start on our corn. We're about 15 to 20% on ours, but we've got about a third of our soybeans in. And so gave us a little bit of a break here to kind of get all the early season bugs out. And so now when the sun comes back out, we're going to be ready to hit the ground running, we're hoping.
Farmers in the Washburn, North Dakota area made decent progress before the recent rains. Dakota Agronomy Partners agronomist Sheldon Labe says some are back in the field today.
Probably have about 10% of the spring wheat in the ground right now. A lot of guys are spreading fertilizer. And with this last rain yesterday, it kind of slowed that up a little bit. We're back out today. Our floaters are actually out back out today running. We're just trying to pick and choose dry fields today so we can get some floating done, because we know there's going to be more acres coming because of the rains and the forecast for next week.
And Labe says weed control will begin as soon as field conditions allow.
Well, we're looking for the sprayers as soon as this rain clears up and dries out a little bit more. Our sprayers will be going. I have no visiting with some producers. They want to get their sprayers going because they're starting to see weeds grow. Looking at pre-burn downs before planting. Just get some stuff that way done.
Archer Daniels Midland is reporting fiscal year 2024 first quarter earnings of $1.3 billion. That is down 24% from the first quarter of 2023. ADM's Ag Services and Oilseed segment is reporting operating profit of $864 million during the first quarter. That's down 29% from a year ago. ADM says its Ag Services subsegment operating profit was down 33% from a year ago, primarily due to the stabilization of trade flows leading to lower global trade.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Berg says this livestock market seeing a relief rally today.
You know, after the markets were closed, we did see reports that they did some testing with beef supplies. USDA took about 30 samples in states that have seen it affecting the dairy cattle and in the milk, and they tested the beef supply. They came up with zero traces of the avian flu disease and virus, and so therefore I assume that that's what the market took as a very positive thing. We opened up $5 higher in feeder cattle, $3 higher in the live cattle. We've since sold off a little bit, but took back all the losses that we saw yesterday.
RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner says the livestock market is a tough one to follow.
We were stronger on Monday, and then yesterday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we were sharply lower because guess what? We have H1N5 or H5N1, I always forget the numbers, in the milk. Maybe we have it in the beef. We're going to test the beef. And the market freaked out. Now this morning, the results came out. Guess what? No virus in the beef. So this market is very sensitive right now to that situation, but the bottom line is the demand for beef is still relatively strong.
American Soybean Association President Josh Gackel calls the new guidance for sustainable aviation fuel a mixed bag, especially for Northern Plains farmers.
It will create additional demand. The potential there in the SAF industry, I think, is huge for growers and producers and for commodity groups. The downside is some of the requirements that they are putting in place might create some disparities across the country when it comes to no-till or complete cover crop or complete no-till. That might work in some parts of the country, but may not work as well here in the Northern Plains. So we're working with Treasury, EPA, USDA as they move forward for the 2025 tax credit to ensure that there's some flexibility and that the climate smart practices that farmers are already using can be put into place for future tax credits.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Paul Freeman has replaced Chris Folland as the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council representative on the Northern Crops Council. The council oversees the Northern Crops Institute, and Freeman says NCI has a broad reach.
Northern Crops Council was formed years ago by North Dakota because we do grow better quality soybeans up here, and we're always looking for new markets, and it has expanded to what we call NCI, Northern Crops Institute, and it includes South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, and Minnesota, and I'm representing Minnesota soybeans on that board.
Freeman looks forward to joining the movement to advance and promote innovation in the industry.
Yeah, NCI is a great platform for, they have baking schools here, our products, and just a lot of programs like that, just seeking out added value for our soybeans and new markets. So really excited that they'll be moving into the Peltier complex, a brand new building here shortly. Open house for that is June 12th, and just expanding programs at a reasonable pace and just extending our reach.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. July wheat Minneapolis, 7.5 cents higher at 7.09¾. Chicago July wheat is 5.25 higher. In Kansas City July wheat, 10¾ higher. July corn, 8¾ higher, now 9 higher at 4.59¾. December up 7 cents at 4.79¾. July soybeans, 27¾ higher, 11.98. November soybeans, 22 higher at 11.87. In Winnipeg, July canola, $11.10 a metric ton higher at $6.36.80 Canadian. June live cattle, $2.80 higher, $176.65. The May feeder cattle, $2.97 higher at $244.40. June lean hogs down 50 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.